We're happy to have Brother Bobby Liddell from the Memphis School of Preaching here with us this morning, and we're thankful he could come our way and take out of his busy schedule to make this appointment, and we're proud that he is with us this morning. Brother Liddell is the administrative dean at the school, and the school is busy teaching those who desire to become preachers, and we're very, very proud of that school. We know that they always teach the truth, and a lot of great preachers have graduated from the Memphis School of Preaching. And we're thankful for us as a congregation here that we're able to support Brother Liddell and a student there each year, and we're happy to be able to do that. And thank you for doing that. We like to think that we have a small part of each student that graduates there, and it's just a small support, but we're happy to be able to do that. Say again, we're thankful you came our way, Brother Bobby.
Thank you. It's good to be with you today, and I have looked forward to coming. I missed being here because of the virus. So I'm delighted that I can be here today. It's a pleasure. It is a joy to see you again and to know of your love for the truth, to be able to worship with you today, and to have the opportunity to tell you a little bit about the school in the next few minutes, and to thank you. That is the main reason I'm here, is to thank you for your support, for your encouragement. I tell people that the Memphis School of Preaching is not a work just of the Forest Hill Church of Christ, but it is a work that requires all of us, includes all of us, as we work together to accomplish what we seek to accomplish. I know a little bit about the school. I went to school there in 1977 and graduated in 79. And I stayed connected with the school in one way or another until I came back to teach there in 1994. So I've been teaching there now for 27 years, been associated with the school for 44 years, and so I know a little bit about it. And I can tell you this, I would not be a part of it if I did not think it was a good work and if I did not think it was being done in the right way. The faculty members are those who believe the truth and teach it to the very best of their ability, and they stand for it. They believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and they present it as such. Now, we are not sinlessly perfect, but we try to do the best that we can. But the Curtis Cates used to say, we haven't sprouted wings yet, but we're trying to do the best that we can. And that's what we're trying to do as we seek to train men to be gospel preachers. Because of my association with it, I have no hesitation at all in encouraging young men to come and to study at the Memphis School of Preaching. I have tried to encourage several here this morning. Some of them little bitty fellas and some of them bigger. But you know what? You can do it. If you want to be a gospel preacher, you can do it. We'll help you to do it. We need gospel preachers. Romans 10, 13 through 17 asks the question, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You know, we get calls all the time from churches that are looking for gospel preachers. The problem is there aren't enough. I had a call last week from a congregation wanting me to help them to find a gospel preacher. We had three that came into the office from folks who were looking for a gospel preacher. And I wish we could say, well, sure, I can give you this person's name, but it's just not there. We just don't have enough. We don't have enough to fulfill the responsibilities of the needs in America, much less to send men across the the ocean to other parts of the world. We need gospel preachers. And so the Memphis School of Preaching exists to offer to the best of our ability the best education and training that we can give to men who want to go forth and preach the gospel. When you walk into the school building, you'll see on the floor there is a tile inlay, and there is depicted there a man's hand holding up the Bible, behind that the world, and the motto of the school, 2 Timothy 4:2, that is, preach the word. And so we are constantly saying to these preacher students, preach the word. That's what people need to hear. That's what the Lord said to do. You know, the only Savior is Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, there's not salvation in any other than Jesus Christ. And the only way to salvation in Jesus Christ is for one to hear, believe, and obey the gospel. We just read that, Romans 10:13-17, parts of it. Verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the only message that will help one to know and to come to and receive the blessings of the only Savior is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 has this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And so we try to teach men that they might be ready to go forth and preach that saving gospel. That's the message of salvation. Now the method of salvation is this. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16:15-16. So we understand there's just one Savior, that's Jesus Christ. There's just one message of salvation, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the method that Jesus chose was for us to go forth and preach it. Now, while we talk about preachers who stand in the pulpit, we're all to be preachers, in a sense, in that we teach others as we have the opportunity, we present the gospel to them. The Memphis School of Preaching exists, though, for this special effort, to help men who are faithful, godly, hard-working, sacrificing men to become gospel preachers. I mentioned the word sacrifice because a lot of them have given up good-paying jobs. They've left homes behind that they'd worked, you know, to acquire. They've left mom and dad back there and all their friends where they grew up. And they've left those things behind, and now they've come to the school where they exist on just enough to get by. And they'll do that for a couple of years and then go out and they'll try to preach. And you know what? Preaching is the hardest work I've ever done. I've done some hard work. I started working when I was 14 in a cabinet shop. And then when I was 19, I started working as an electrician and worked construction work. I worked in the steel mills in Birmingham as an electrician. Worked in the coal mines in that area as an electrician. And had my life all planned. I was going to retire at 45. And here I am, 39, and getting close to that. Well, I'm a little bit more than that. You know, my mom will be 96 in August, and we had a birthday party for her when she was 93. And we had a 9 and a 3 on the cake, and she took the 3 and put it in front of the 9 and made it 39. So I'm still trying to do that myself. But I was going to retire at 45, and I had that plan working. But I decided to preach. So there are men who give up things that maybe they'd worked toward, and good salaries so they can preach. And again, preaching is the hardest work I've ever done. I've worked double shifts. I've worked 8 shifts a week. I've done things that were difficult, but preaching is the hardest work I've ever done. It will wear you out emotionally, mentally, physically, And sometimes it'll wear on you spiritually. But we try to help these men to be ready to educate them to be gospel preachers. Now, occasionally, there will be a man who graduates from the school and he goes out and in course of time he leaves the faith or he teaches error. You know what? He didn't learn that at the Memphis School of Preaching. So you know that if you see a man who does that. But there are hundreds of graduates who are out there preaching the truth faithfully. So we try to help them, to educate them, to equip them so that they can be prepared for the challenges, for the obstacles, for the problems that come in preaching, and they're going to come. So I spend a lot of my time talking about how do you handle this problem? How do you face this challenge? What do you do if this arises? And we have a faculty there who has hundreds of years of combined experience in local work, mission work, you name it, debating, writing, education. And so we have men who have hundreds of years in those things that they can give practical advice. And that practical advice is needed, and that's especially important. You know, the world is lost. The world is lost. It needs to know about Jesus Christ. It needs to know about the one and the only Savior. And it's not going to hear that from those who aren't preaching and teaching the truth. And thus we seek to send forth those who will effectively work in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will teach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. As one brother has said, the whole work of the whole church is to take the whole truth to the whole world. That's what we're seeking to do. There is no more important work. No more important work than that. Young man, if you're thinking about what you can do with your life, where you can make a difference, how you can do something that is really needed, that is really important, there are a lot of good things you could do. But there's no more important work than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're dealing with that which has to do with eternity. And with the souls of men and their welfare. What a wonderful blessing it is to be able to help a person who is lost in sin to come to know the truth. What a wonderful blessing that is. Oh, it's not my truth. It's the gospel of Christ. But He's blessed me with the opportunity to be the vessel that carries that to one who is lost in sin. I think I'm hitting this thing over here is what's doing that. I'll try not to hit it. To one who is lost in sin. And to help him to know the truth. What greater blessing could there be than to see that one render obedience to the gospel? To confess his faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And to be baptized, to have his sins washed away, Acts 22:16. And you know what? You had a little part in that. Just as was mentioned earlier, when you support the work there and a brother goes out and he has that success in teaching somebody, you've got a part in that too. You've got a part in it because you helped him to be able to do that. You helped him to be equipped, to have the training, to have the education that now he can go forth and do that effectively. And so, you've got a part in that. I'm at the Memphis School of Preaching because I want to have a part in that. I've done local work and was happy in local work. Had a great work where I was. And Brother Cates, the director of the school at that time, called me and asked me to come and to teach. And I had to think about it. I wrote down on one sheet of paper all the reasons to stay where I was. I filled up the front of it and most of the back. I took another sheet of paper and all the reasons to teach at the Memphis School of Preaching. There was one thing on it. But it was important that I could have a part in helping men to go forth and preach. I could multiply my efforts that way. I'm just one man. I can preach and hopefully do some good, but if I can help other men to go forth, then I could multiply my efforts. And in spite of all the things on this sheet, I chose to do that because of that opportunity. And so when you help, that's what you're doing. You're taking part in helping this man to be prepared that he might be able to go out and to preach the gospel. And you know, it may be that he's a young man. And if the world stands, he may preach for 50, 60 years, maybe more. I'll be gone. Maybe you will too. Many of us will be gone. But that work that we enable this man to do will continue on, even after we're gone. That's a reason why I work at the Memphis School of Preaching. I want to have an influence for good even after I'm gone. You know, Peter said, as he wrote to those brethren, 1 and 2 Peter, he said that he wanted to put them in remembrance. He wanted to do that while he was there, while he was living. But he wanted to have an impact upon them after he was gone, as he had told them and reminded them. And so we can have an impact for good after we're gone if this world continues, because we helped a young man to go out and preach the gospel. Now, when we graduate these men, we just had graduation on June the 20th, I believe it was. When we graduate these men, we let them know this is not the end of your study. We've just given you some tools to get you started for a lifetime of Bible study. You know, I spend hours in preparation for every sermon that I preach. Hours. When I teach a class, I spend hours in preparation for that class. It may be a 30-minute class. It may be a class at school that lasts 3 hours. But I spend hours and hours getting ready for that. And so we tell these fellows, when you leave here, this is not the end of your study. We've just given you the tools to begin, to start, to get ready, to commence, to have a lifetime of Bible study, and to grow in knowledge and hopefully in ability as well. And so we try to do the very best that we can to help them, to be prepared, to educate them, to train them, to give them the tools that they need so they can go forth and now have a lifetime of their working and serving the Lord and helping others to come to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell them, as they are in this process, this 2-year process, I tell them, you know, this is hard. This is challenging. It's intense. It is something that is there every day. They're in class for 6 hours a day, Monday through Friday. We require 6 hours of homework when they go home. That's 12 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and then they work on the weekends. And so it is intensive, it is demanding, it is rigorous, but it's worth everything that you put into it because of what you're going to get out of it. I tell them, you're going to preach what you know. You can't preach what you don't know, can you? You're going to preach what you know. You're going to know what you study, and you're going to study what you love. Does that sound good? You're going to preach what you know. You're going to know what you study, and you're going to study what you love. So here are men who love to study the gospel, who love to know what the Bible teaches, not just so they can say they know it, but so they can tell others about it. I think about Philip as he joined himself to that chariot of the eunuch, Acts 8. And the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, and Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And so Philip began at the same scripture and preached Christ unto him. And you know the rest of the story. The eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he, Philip, baptized him, the eunuch, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Here was a man who is called the evangelist, Philip the evangelist. He's a messenger of good news. And he helped this one man to come to know the truth. If he'd never done anything else in his preaching, if that was the only accomplishment that he could claim, I helped that Ethiopian to become a Christian. What a blessing that would have been to have that one who now came to know the truth, but no doubt there were many others. And so I tell these students, if you go out after 2 years of intensive work, it is demanding. The commercial appeal claims that the Memphis School of Preaching is the toughest school in town. There are a number of universities and colleges and other type of educational programs that are religious in nature, but they said the Memphis School of Preaching is the toughest school in town. I could have told them that before they ever did their study. It's demanding. It's rigorous. It's intensive. It will try you. But I tell these fellows, if you spend 2 years in this accelerated type of work, and then you go out and you preach for 50 years, and you're able to help just one person to get to heaven, it will be worth it. And it may be that one person is you, that preacher himself. And so what a wonderful blessing it is to have the opportunity to preach the gospel and to help men who want to be gospel preachers. Our curriculum is right here. This is what we study. We study every book in this Bible. And we try to study every verse of it. We do have some Bible-related courses, such as Bible geography, Bible archaeology, church history. I've taught all of those. We teach English. We think that, you know, people ought to be able to speak in the native tongue, hopefully, in a way they can communicate. And we teach Greek. We have some Bible-related courses, but our main course is to study the Word of God. This is a work that is overseen by the eldership of the Forest Hill Church of Christ. We believe that's the way it ought to be done. It is a work of the church. The elders oversee it. The Forest Hill congregation supports it from their local contribution. This is not any outside money. This is from their local contribution. They give more than $500,000 every year to the work of the Memphis School of Preaching. They've been doing that now for over 50 years. Think of how much money they put into it from the local congregation. You see, they want people to know that they believe in this work and they're going to support it. And so if you join in supporting it as well, you can know, hey, they believe in it. And they're putting their funds into it because they think it's a good work. So they oversee that work. They appoint a director who carries out the program, the policy as they have set it. And I at one time was the director of the school. But this is a work of the church. When I was director, back about 2008 or 9, you know, we had a recession. And a fellow called me one day and he said, I've got some great news for you. He said, I'm going to help you to get some of that government stimulus money for the Memphis School of Preaching. And I said, we're not interested. And there was a pause because he wasn't expecting that. He said, well, maybe you didn't understand. I'm going to help you to get some of that government stimulus money for the Memphis School of Preaching. I said, no, you didn't understand. We're not interested. Another pause. He couldn't believe I was saying that. He said, how could you not be interested? I said, well, here's the problem. He said, well, it's free money. I said, it's not free. I said, if we take that money, then the government can come in and tell us what we teach, what we don't teach, how to teach it, how not to teach it, and so on. This is not a work of the government. This is a work of the Church of Christ. This is a work of the Lord's people. And the Lord's people support it, not the federal government. So no, thank you. We're not interested. We don't receive federal government money or state government money or local government money. It is a work of the church supported by brothers and sisters just like you who believe in what we're trying to do, who see the need for men to go forth and preach the gospel, and who are willing to help in doing that. As I mentioned, it's a 2-year program. We have other programs that we also carry out in connection with it. We have what is a graduate type of program. It's the MOST program. And so you can take that. You know, you can take that here. Won't cost you a penny. You can take it online. You can watch the classes. You can watch the archived classes. If you want to take it for credit, you can do that. It's the MOST program. We have a missions program. When I was director of the school, I saw men going into mission work. They'd go and stay a year or two, and then they'd come back. And you say, well, why would they do that? It wasn't because they were bad men. It was because they weren't equipped. They weren't ready. They didn't know the language. They weren't ready for the culture shock. They weren't ready for their family facing the culture shock. They weren't ready to deal with the other parts of doing mission work. And so I said, we need to have a program that will help to get men ready to go out and do mission work. And so we started the World Missions Program. We have a program that we just concluded just a couple of days ago. It's called Foundations. That's for young people, men and women, to come, and they're taught how to be better servants of the Lord. We have a program for our ladies, our preacher wives, because as the preacher is growing in Bible knowledge, we want the wife to grow along with him. And we study things in particular that are of interest to one who would be a preacher's wife, to help her in that role. And we have seminars and classes online. I would encourage you to go to msop.org. msop.org, and just look at the things that are available there. And you can watch the lectures we just concluded in May. You can watch the lectures that were presented. You can look at these various classes that I've mentioned, the seminars, the workshops, and so on. And you can look at the archives of those, and you can even take some classes for credit if that is what you want to do. It is a blessing to me to work there because of the great faculty that is there. I'm happy every day to walk through those doors and know that I'm going to be with men who love the truth and who have labored long and hard to preach it and who are there to teach men to go forth and to labor in preaching it. It is a joy every day. And the staff as well, who are good and godly people and hard workers. And it takes all of us working together to accomplish this. But here's a wonderful thing about the Memphis School of Preaching. And we're not the only school of preaching. We're not the only sound school of preaching. We're trying to do the best that we can do. But here's a wonderful thing about it. A person can come to the school and take the 2-year course, and it will not cost him a penny for tuition or fees. I talked to a brother recently. He was attending a brotherhood college, and he was thinking about preaching and wanted to talk to me about the Memphis School of Preaching. And so we talked, and I said, well, how much does it cost you there? And when he got through with all the figures, it was about $40,000 a year. He said, well, I get some scholarships. And so we figured up after 4 years, he would owe $120,000. That's a lot of money. I said, you'll pay for that for 20 or 30 years. It'll take you a long time to pay off $120,000. I said, how would you like to come to the Memphis School of Preaching and get a quality education in 2 years instead of four? And when you leave, you owe $0. How about that? And I said, we'll help you to raise your support so you can live while you're here. Well, that's what he chose to do. And last Monday, he started his work at the Memphis School of Preaching. What a wonderful blessing. I'm so thankful. I can tell people, you can come here. It won't cost you anything. You have to buy your books. We're not going to buy those for you. You have to buy your books. You have to be able to live. But we're going to help you with that. I can just about guarantee an incoming student that he'll have all the support he needs. He has to fill out a budget, and I approve that budget or not. And quite often I send it back and say, you need to fix this. But when he comes, I can just about guarantee him that he's going to have the support that he needs because of brethren like you. What a wonderful thing that is. So no tuition, no fees because of brethren who are interested in preparing men to be gospel preachers and are willing to support them in their doing that. I want to mention briefly, in connection with that, that due to the generosity of so many, we were able some years ago to build some housing for our students. We have 32 apartments. Each one has 3 bedrooms and 2 baths. And so we could have 96 bedrooms. And those have been full at times. And so we have these 3-bedroom apartments. They're on the campus of the Forest Hill Church of Christ. And they're separated from the normal world around us, where they can be safe, they can have fellowship, they can help each other. Here's a mom who has to go somewhere. She can leave her children with this mom. And so they can walk to the school building, they can walk to the library, they can walk to the church building. And it is saving those students, I would say, on average, $1,000 to $1,500 per month. You know what that means? That means that folks like you don't have to pay that. That's money that doesn't have to be paid. So you multiply that by 30, 40, 50 students, and think of the savings and living expenses and the blessings of safety and fellowship and proximity to all of those buildings. So we're thankful that God has blessed us with that. Sometimes people say, do you give a degree? We do not. We do not. You say, well, why not? We're not interested in degrees. Are you accredited? We are by the Tennessee Department of Education. Well, we haven't sought accreditation from an accrediting board. I've been through that process with another school, and I can tell you what happens. They're going to come in and say, you've got to teach biology. You've got to teach American history. You've got to do this and this and this. We're not going to be under an accrediting board. We're under the eldership of the Forest Hill Church of Christ. They choose the curriculum, not some accrediting board who's not even made up of members of the church. So are we accredited? Yes, by the Tennessee Department of Education. Do we seek other accreditation? No. Do we plan on giving bachelor's degrees and master's degrees? No. We're not interested in that. What we're going to do is present a man with a diploma that says you completed the work at the Memphis School of Preaching. Now, on my wall, I have some degrees from other places, but you know the one that means the most to me is that diploma, because I know what it cost me. I know what it required. I know what it means. And so we hope we're accredited by the Lord, and we seek to help men to go out and to serve Him. We want men who are not lazy men, men who are honest, men who are faithful, men who are going to preach for the right reason. I tell them on the first day of the first quarter of the first year in the first class that I teach that if you think that preaching is an easy way to make a lot of money, you're too stupid to be a preacher. And I remind them of that from time to time. That's not the purpose. It's not the purpose to seek an easy life. It's not the purpose to seek to have a big income from doing nothing. That's not it. The purpose is to preach the gospel, to seek to serve the Lord faithfully, and to do it even when it's not convenient. To do it even when it costs you. You have to make a sacrifice to do it because it's the right thing to do. So we want men who are dedicated, mature, responsible, who have a burning desire to preach. And as Brother Case used to say, we'll try not to mess them up. We'll try to help them to do better. So how can you help? Well, you're already helping by supporting the work. Please pray for us. We need your prayers. Encourage young men to be preachers. Think of all the influence the world has upon our young people today. Sad, isn't it? You be a positive influence. Encourage that young man. Tell him he can be a preacher. Encourage him to do that. Now, he can go to heaven without being a gospel preacher. I understand that. But we need preachers. We need men who love the Lord, who love the truth, who love souls, and who are willing to make the sacrifices to help people get to heaven. We need gospel preachers. Thank you for your help, for your encouragement, for your support. We couldn't do it without you. And I'm so thankful I've had the opportunity today to be here to tell you that we appreciate it. We're grateful. I personally am grateful that you helped to make possible my being a teacher at the Memphis School of Preaching. Now, if you have any questions, I'll be glad when I stand at the back to answer those questions. I'm not going to be here a long time because I've got to be at in West Tennessee at 6 o'clock and preach there. And I figure it's going to take 5.5 hours if I have no problems. And traveling down 40, that's sometimes a problem. So it's going to take me a little while to get there. I'm going to shake your hand and say goodbye, and I'm going to leave as soon as I can. But if you have a question, you feel free to meet me back there and ask me that question. I will do my best to answer it. Why do we have a school of preaching? Because souls are lost. And as long as this world stands, there's going to be the need for gospel preaching. Because that's the only solution, is to tell people about Jesus Christ. We need men and women who will go forth and work in this way to help the world to know that there is a Savior who loved them enough to die for them. And by His precious blood, they can have their sins washed away. It may be that today you're in need of having that cleansing blood applied to your soul, that you might be saved from your sins. What a blessing that is to think the slate has been wiped clean. Those sins have been put in the past. God will remember them no more, Hebrews 10:1-4. And now we can go forward as a new creature in Christ. It's a new start. We've got a new relationship with God. We've got a new relationship with the church. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ, and Christ as our Savior, and heaven as our hope and goal. And this made possible because of that one who loved us so much and gave Himself for us. And did that even though we were lost in sin, Romans 5:8. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it may be that today you're one who needs to respond to that gospel invitation to come believing in Jesus as the Christ, to repent of all past sins, to confess your faith in Him that He is the Christ, the Son of God, the one that He claims to be, and then to be buried with Him in baptism, Romans 6:3, that from that watery grave, you might arise and walk in newness of life. That great burden lifted, those sins forgiven and washed away. And now you can look forward in hope as you serve the Savior. That may be what you need to do today. We'll be glad to help you do it. Or maybe you've done those things, but you strayed away. You need to come back. We want you to come back. We love your soul. We want you to go to heaven. Don't be lost, having once known the truth. Come back and begin anew, and we'll help you to do that. If that's your need, come right now while we stand and sing.